Many Americans were introduced to Australian humor a couple of years ago with the movie Crocodile Dundee. Now the sequel, written by its star Paul Hogan and his son Brett. Guest film critic Michael Schrago has a review.
Millions of Paul Hogan fans will line up to say g'day to Crocodile Dundee 2, but even the diehards will come away saying good grief. This movie exploits any goodwill left by the first film with appalling shrewdness. One laugh-out-loud gag involving a department store snake charmer and a couple of nifty knife stunts can't compensate for the wet-fused writing and languid pace of this tired blood sequel.
About 500 yards that way, behind that ridge.
How do you know that?
Can't you smell it?
There's sweat?
Wally's aftershave.
Set half in New York and half in Australia, it's composed of fish-out-of-water humor, superhero heartwarming, cocaine-smuggling melodrama, and an unimaginative and interminable chase through the outback. Afterward, a friend of mine quipped that he'd been lulled into an aboriginal dream state. In the outback section, Croc and his New York journalist girlfriend Sue, once again played by Linda Kozlowski, outwit the forces of the Colombian drug czar who killed Sue's ex-boyfriend. It's like a lighthearted, amateurish deliverance. The natives are the good guys. But those in search of deliverance from rehashed movie-making will have to look elsewhere. The first Crocodile Dundee was successful partly because, for most Americans, anything charming about it was unexpected. Hogan's parched and dry brand of cool transferred easily from his TV commercials. And Croc represented the frontier self-reliance and humor that Americans fear they've lost. The movie also had the edge of being a He-Man film for the whole family. As in the first film, it's clear that, to borrow from singer Carole King, Croc makes his girlfriend Sue feel like a natural woman. But Crocodile Dundee 2 is designed to show that Croc can make everyone around him feel like a natural human. He draws reptile tracks in the sand for little kids in a playground. He befriends a black man named Bad Leroy Brown, who tries and fails to live up to the tough guy image of the Jim Croce song. And later, he gets Leroy and the members of an improbable mixed-blood gang to help him when he breaks into the Colombian drug dealer's Long Island mansion. Predictably, the only person this wholesome macho superhero can't relate to is a suicidal gay man who he meets on the ledge of a skyscraper. In Australia, Croc shows off the mystic knowledge of the outback with the help of his Aborigine pals. Norman Mailer, in one of his essays, wrote about the white Negro. Crocodile is the white Aborigine, an altogether more wholesome and far less edifying thing. Here, Croc's friend Wally fills the bad guys in on the hero's mysterious powers.
He was adopted by Aborigines. And he had to go through that initiation. He knows about their magic, their black magic. You know, some people say that he talks to the animals.
If what you say is true, it's lucky we brought the kryptonite.
The inflated emotions and forced laughs would matter less if this movie had any snap. But Crocodile Dundee 2 crawls as an action movie and drawls as a comedy. Director John Cornell has boasted that he drives his business partners crazy by applying what he calls country time to city situations. When it comes to movie making like Crocodile Dundee 2, that's nothing to brag about.
Michael Schrago is movie critic for the San Francisco Examiner.